This is Movies for the Blind, episode 119, Down Among the Zed Men, part 1.
Could I try on that bathing costume in the window?
In the window? No, you'll have to use the fitting room like all the other girls. The police, you know.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. The tradition of the alternative sketch comedy troupe is a long one now. In Canada, there's Kids in the Hall. In the U.S., Firesign Theater, or stage and film versions of the National Lampoon. Towering above them all, of course, from England, Monty Python's Flying Circus. But it really all began with the Goons. The story goes that in World War II, Irishman Spike Milligan's artillery unit accidentally rolled a howitzer gun off a cliff, landing just near a truck where Welshman Harry Seacombe was working. Milligan called out, "Anybody see a gun?" And Seacombe called back, "What color was it?" So began the friendship of the two performers. After the war, they'd meet up with Peter Sellers and Michael Bentine and took to performing in pubs. A tape got to the BBC, and the group that became known as the Goons began their half-hour radio series in May of 1951, with Milligan's writing setting the wacky, surreal tone, doing things no radio show had ever done before. The series ran until 1960 and influenced generations of comedians, including those in Monty Python, and even the Beatles. There were a few tries at transferring the Goons from audio only into film. This one is the only one to feature the original foursome, and here, of course, it's been switched back to audio only. Fittingly surreal, perhaps. A reminder for Americans that the letter Z is pronounced Z in the UK. So, from 1952, this is Down Among the Zed Men. BJ Fancy Productions. Have the misfortune to inflict... The Goons. In the letter G of Goons, a door opens.
Well, hello there. My name is Harry Seacombe, and I play the part of Harry Jones, closest assistant and amateur detective. And I'm hot on the trail of...
In an O.
Michael Bentine. I play the part of Professor Osric... Oh, dear, I forgot the name. Anyway, I'm a scientist who's just invented the bicarbonate bomb. And then, of course, there's...
In the other O.
Mike Milligan, as Private Eccles. And I just play...
In the N.
Nothing working out, you don't, by thunder. Not as long as my name's Peter Sellers as Colonel Bloodnock. Anyway, who would you play with?
In the S.
Cal Carr, an MI5 girl, also hot on the trail.
I hope she's not on my trail, because we're all... Down, 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 down among the dead men, they will lie.
Down Among the Zed Men, by Jimmy Grafton and Francis Charles. Introducing Leslie Roberts' 12 Toppers. Clifford Stanton, Robert Caudron, Andrew Timothy, Graham Stark, Russ Allen, Elizabeth Kearns, Miriam Carlin, Sidney Vivian, Howell Evans. Director of Photography, Jeffrey Faithful. Art Director, Don Russell. Camera Operator, Oscar Byrne. Film Editor, Peter Mayhew. Sound Recordist, Charles Barkhouse. Music composed and conducted by Jack Jordan. Dance sequences arranged by Leslie Roberts. Associate Producer, Jimmy Grafton. Produced by E.J. Fancy. Directed by McLean Rogers. In an English village, a pretty woman and one more prim enter Isaiah Crabb's general store.
I want a hat.
A hat, madam, yes. In our ladies' fashion and ironmongery department.
In a bathtub stands a sign. How would you like to see your girl in this?
Come this way, madam, please. Mr. Jones, forward. Mr. Jones!
The women follow Crabb to the sign.
Mr. Jones!
Which he moves to a mannequin in a dress.
Coming.
Harry carries a stack of boxes from the back room.
Serve these two ladies and drop everything else.
Harry falls over, dropping the boxes.
Where, really?
He gets up in front of the mannequin.
Terribly sorry, I...
Then turns to the women.
Ah, there you are. What's your pleasure? I can guess, but tell me. I'll just get some of the boxes out of the way first.
Bending down and smiling at the pretty woman, Harry tosses the boxes aside randomly, hitting Crabb with one of them. He notices before throwing the last one.
Oh, Mr. Crabb.
Awkward and flustered, he tosses it in the other direction.
What can I do for you, madame?
I think this young lady is ahead of me.
Way ahead.
Have you anything that would renovate an old bag?
She's too far gone for that. Your mother?
No, I mean a Gladstone bag.
Gladstone? She's old enough to be Disraeli's.
How dare you? Stop this poppycock.
Sorry, cock. Don't go away, please.
Young man, I want a hat.
I know what you want.
Well, what do I want?
You want a hat. Follow this way, please.
He leads her to a counter.
How about this one up here, eh?
And brings out a floppy hat with feathers.
Gainsborough girl.
He tries it on and poses.
Direct from Paris?
No, and it can go back to Paris.
She tugs it over his face and walks off.
Now, don't go away, please.
But, madam, one moment, please, I'm sure. Madam!
Fashion.
She leaves. As Harry struggles to take off the hat, and the pretty woman approaches him.
It's still Tuesday. I hope you don't want a hat.
No, thank you. But could I try on that bathing costume in the window?
In the window? No, you'll have to use the fitting room like all the other girls. The police, you know.
Talking of the police, I thought you were awfully good in the play.
You really?
Yes. The Black Masquerader. I think it's quite the best show the Amateur Dramatic Society has put on.
Well, the West Nattering District Bugle and Observer were very kind to us, really. Yes. Right here, look.
The paper's on the counter.
It says, I know it by heart. It says, Harry Jones was back to the art to the life. He played the part as though he were really a detective. He's got my picture in, too, look.
Outside the theater.
Bats of the Yard. Hey, what's the matter with you? You're shaking like a leaf.
Any mention of the police puts the wind up me.
Oh, fine Secret Service agent you are. Now, listen. Orders are we got to find this professor, wait till he's finished his formula, pinch it, then bump him off.
I know that, but why bring us to this dump?
Well, because Professor Pureheart...
Who?
Pureheart, bloke with a black bushy beard. He's camping around here somewhere. That's why we're here.
Which field?
How should I know? That's what we're here to find out. Here. Let's ask up in one of those shops up there. You never know. He might have been in for provisions or something. Come on.
In the store.
Yes, I really live my parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I am by nature a detective.
Yeah.
You remember that scene where I tackled a spy in Act 3?
Oh,
I really
yeah.
go for him, you know.
He bumps into Crab.
Sorry, Mr. Crab.
Provision counter. Back among the cheese where you belong. I'll attend to this lady.
He pushes Harry aside.
Now, madam.
Well, if you've a nice dress length, something summery.
Yes.
Tripping behind the front counter. Harry smacks his paper on it and pulls up a ladder to the upper shelf.
Oh, something like
miffed.
Yes, indeed.
He picks up a large cleaning brush, runs it over a shelf in back of him, and sticks his tongue out toward Crab. He sets the brush down and watches Crab retrieve a dress for the woman.
Now, madam.
Harry tears the front page of the paper from the rest and admires it as the agents walk in.
Morning, my gentlemen. What can I do for you? I've got a nice line in sweets, a nice line in pies, a nice line in bacon.
You've got a nice line in talk. All we want is some information.
Information? Oh, well, here's a local paper. That's me on the front page.
So you're Bats of the Yard.
That's right.
Just one of the local boys, eh?
Local? I'm homegrown.
Yeah. Now, look, we want to know if you've seen a black-bearded gent. He's a funny sort of cove, sort of a scientist. He hasn't been in here by any chance, has he?
You mean he's a crook? Like the Black Masquerader?
No. Yes. Yes, that's it. And we've got to get hold of him.
I know you are.
What?
You're a couple of detectives on the trail of a dangerous criminal.
You see, he's stolen a secret formula and is masquerading as the real professor.
So that's how he asked if I was a local boy, eh? Superintendent?
Correct. Now listen, we've got to get this bloke because he's camping around here.
Well, you couldn't have asked anyone better. If he comes in here, I'll let you know straight away.
Good. We'll be in the local pub.
Don't worry, fellas. Depend on me, colleagues. The minute he comes in here, I'll be right...
Jones, forward.
Coming, Mr. Kraft. Excuse me, no use calling.
Harry heads for the back, leaving the agents alone.
What is all this about superintendents and colleagues and all that?
Don't you understand? This clot is Detective Mad. He thinks we're a couple of flatties.
Oh, no.
Listen, he's going to be very useful to us. He can do all the hard work training this pure art bloke while you and I take it easy. Come on.
In the back, Harry and Crab drape fabric around the woman.
Now measure the waist.
Yes, Mr. Crab.
With his tape, Harry measures Crab's waist.
No.
Her waist, yes, Mr. Crab.
He measures her neck and his own head.
Nine and a half. Big head. Waist, yes.
He measures her waist with her arms under the tape.
73. Dieting.
Now, I want a big drape at the back here.
You've got a big drip in the front.
Jones.
Just the Crab at the gag, Mr. Crab.
He measures her back.
Now, that'll do. Just cut it off there.
Just cut it off. Okay.
Holding a pair of scissors, Harry moves to cut the fabric on her side, but pauses.
No, I think I'd better start from
the bottom of that knife. Yes, it would be better, yes.
He crouches down and cuts the fabric behind her.
I've been looking for this for ages.
Yes, it's very nice, isn't it? Short back and side. Shave.
When he finishes cutting through, he lets the fabric fall and finds he's cut the back of the dress she's wearing, exposing her slip. He stands and covers her with his apron.
That's you.
The crab takes back the fabric.
Good day.
The woman walks out of the store, showing the back of her slip and her shapely legs. The crab notices and chases after her. As Harry winces, the bearded professor walks in.
Oh, good morning.
Harry is startled by his wild curly hair, glasses, and walking shorts.
Tell me, that young lady leaving just now seems the right outfit for the warm weather. Did she get it here?
Well, I thought it helped.
Tell me, do you think an outfit like that would suit me?
What, with those legs?
And what's the matter with my legs?
Nothing, sir, nothing. What's on your mind, apart from your hair?
On my mind? A formula, my dear sir.
A formula?
Yes.
Then you're the professor.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, how do you do?
They shake hands, and the professor finds himself with the scissors, which he drops.
I hate scissors. Wait a minute, I got it! The formula! Yes. The formula! Quick, paper and a pencil. Paper.
Pureheart finds the paper's front page and gets out a pencil.
No, be careful, not that side of the press cutting.
Yeah.
He turns the page over.
Oh, wait a minute, I shall need my reading glasses for this.
He puts reading glasses on Harry.
Ah, that's much better. Professor, I don't need glasses.
He gives them back.
Neither do I.
And Pureheart takes off his.
X square.
He writes.
Well, we haven't any square eggs. We've got some round ones, or some egg-shaped eggs. They're Australian eggs from down under.
Pureheart thinks and writes.
Why? Why not? That's where they come from, down under, you see? Chicken. Are you one?
Am I one what?
He keeps writing.
Pie.
And Harry grabs a meat pie.
To the square root.
Well, there isn't any square root. I don't know what you mean.
Harry gets on the ladder to search with his bottom sticking out.
I got it.
Pureheart tears off Harry's trousers and runs happily out of the store. Crab returns and finds Harry with just his long underwear on.
What are you doing now? You're fast.
Crab, please don't fly, Mr. Crab. Think of my six starving children, Mr. Crab.
You haven't got any children.
I know, but if I had, they'd starve. Mr. Crab, please, you can't fire me.
I'll give you one more chance. Go and collect that £20 the Crown Public House owes me. And bring the money back. Every penny of it.
I will, Mr. Crab, I will.
You'd better. My last assistant embezzled some money, tuppence, and I prosecuted.
Prosecuted?
Prosecuted with the utmost rigor of the law. He got 5 years. I was on the bench.
Oh, you'll get your money back, Mr. Crab. I'll bring it back to you, Mr. Crab.
You don't. And take that wretched paper out of here with your photograph in it. It's enough to frighten away every customer for miles.
Crab stalks away, and Harry consoles himself by looking at his front page again.
Bats of the yard.
The professor. The black masquerader. The pub.
Later, the publican pays him.
19.20. Until Mr. Crab, I thought he'd give me more credit, trade being so bad.
Him? He never gives anybody any credit, the mean old perisher.
Yes, gentlemen. What can I get you?
2 pints of beer, please.
He goes to serve the agents.
Just the fellow I wanted to see. I've just seen him. The black masquerader.
Oh, the professor?
I think it was him, Superintendent. He came in just after you'd left the shop.
He did, eh? Come on, tell me more.
Well, he's camping around here somewhere. He
came in. As one agent walks off with Harry, the other finds the wallet he put the £20 in. Steals the money and looks at the folded up front page.
Bats of the yard.
He puts the page back in the wallet, which he puts on the bar where Harry left it.
I'll be 3 shillings, sir. I think I'll have a large whiskey.
Yes,
what'll you have?
He pays.
Thank you, sir.
Good work, Detective
Jones. I'll have the same.
As the publican serves, Harry and the first agent come back.
No, at once.
Bats of the yard never forgets. Well, goodbye.
They shake hands.
Goodbye.
Don't forget your wallet.
Oh, my gosh, no. There's 20 quid of Mr. Crab's money in there.
There is?
Yes. And he said if I don't bring back every penny, he'd get me 5 years.
Well, we'll be seeing you sometime.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Harry leaves.
Why don't you keep your mind on your job? Instead of lifting that poor dope's cash, you want to concentrate on lifting the professor's formula. And you won't find it in an half-wit's wallet.
I'm sorry, Spider. It was dead easy. In any case, before we get the formula, we've got to find the professor.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder where the heck he is.
Sir?
In a field by a pup tent, Pureheart searches the suit he's put on.
The formula. Oh, my number, the formula. Oh, wait a minute.
He bends down to the shirt he'd worn at the store and searches the pockets, picking it up.
the truck.
Hurrying to a truck nearby, he goes through papers in its bed covered with tarpaulin. Meanwhile, Harry approaches on a bicycle and stops when he spots Pureheart. Dismounting, he drops the bicycle and watches.
I've lost the formula. I've lost the formula. I must have that formula. Where's the formula?
Behind Pureheart, Harry sneaks to a fence nearby and spies on the professor searching in his tent. Harry tiptoes up to the truck, flattening his back against the side of the bed and peeking around the corner. He looks through the papers Pureheart pulled from the truck, but finds nothing useful. Looking inside the bed, he pulls out two cylinders.
Gas bombs. Courage, Bats.
He puts them back. Then pulls out another sheet of paper, which he reads.
Dear sir, we are eagerly awaiting your arrival at Warwell, and all arrangements have been made for you to work in the utmost secrecy. Once the formula is in our hands, we shall endeavor to get the new weapon into production immediately. Warwell Atomic Research Station.
Hey, what are you doing here? You wild beast!
Harry climbs in the truck bed and hides. Pureheart backs out of the tent and stands with a rifle.
Have your life for this!
He shoots into the tent and reaches inside.
Ah! You stinking beast!
Pulling out a badger, he takes it to the truck and drops it in the bed. He puts his rifle in as well, then steps around to the front and gets in. He drives his truck laden with furniture off the field, careening with Harry still in the back. Later, a door reads, MI5, fearfully secret, spies please knock, Brigadier Jay Dunnett. A woman in uniform walks inside, where a man in uniform sits reading a comic book with his feet on a desk. She goes to her desk. The man reaches for the phone, but it's too far.
I say, answer that old thing, will you? Afraid the ringing might wake up and bring it down.
She answers.
Hello? Yes, this is Official Secrets. Can I help you? Yes, I like your voice, too. My name? Oh, that's an official secret. Who am I talking to? Who?
She covers the phone.
Oh, blimey. It's the CNC. He wants done it.
Who's done what?
No, the CNC.
What's he done?
Nothing. He must have done it.
But you just said he didn't do it.
He wants done it. Hold on, will you, sir? Our done it.
My dear girl, you can't say our done it. They done it. We done it. I done it. Oh, you mean... Damn it, that's done it.
He takes the phone.
As switchboard, I say transfer this call to Brigadier Dunnett, will you? Well, thank you.
As she returns to work at her desk, he carefully hangs up the phone. At the other end of his desk, another phone on a folding arm automatically extends towards someone dozing in a chair covered by a newspaper. An officer takes the paper off, sits up, and answers the phone.
What the blazes do you mean by ringing me up this time of night? Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. Yes, sir. Professor Pureheart, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, our very best man, sir. Very good, sir. Goodbye, sir.
He hangs up.
At last.
The men stand.
Dinner, sir.
Well, don't. Now, listen. There's one of these atomic professor fellows on his way to Warwell. Well, anyway, we've got to protect him.
The woman listens.
Now, there's an ITC at Warwell. I suggest that we send him down there as guest of the colonel's. We'll have to send one of our own people down there to shadow him. And the question is, to who can we give the job?
Well, sir, it's rather difficult, sir. You see, all our special secret service agents are so deuced well known, sir.
Dunnett notices the woman.
I've got it. Here, you there.
She stands.
What's your name?
Carol Gailey, sir.
You've heard of this atomic fellow, Pureheart?
Yes, sir.
Well, it appears they want to kill him. And it's going to be your job to stop him.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I suggest you get into civilian talks. In fact, you better do that right away. You better get down to the ITC at Warwell and report to the CO.
Very good, sir.
Pretend to be his daughter or something. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
And remember, this is absolutely secret.
Yes, sir.
Don't breathe a word of this to anybody.
Turning to her desk, she puts on her hat. Later, at the Warwell Camp Infantry Training Center, two soldiers walk past a guard and toward barracks on either side of a road. The headquarters is an ivy-covered three-story house on tranquil grounds. Inside, An officer enters an office. Approaches the desk of Colonel Bloodnock and salutes.
Any news, RSM?
Afraid not, sir. The new officer left London some hours ago.
He slams down a pen.
Well, what the devil are we supposed to do? An intake of Zed reservists due here at any moment, and I've got no adjutant.
I know, sir.
And now to cap it, there's this VIP fellow on his way, too.
On his way to where, sir?
Here, man, here. I can't think what the War Office is up to. They send me a civilian scientist, a nurse, but they don't send me an adjutant.
He must have been delayed on the road, sir.
On the road, the agents have stolen his clothes.
How dare you put on my uniform?
Fits all right.
Spider ties him up.
I shall have the whole of the British Army round you here.
Ah, shut up.
Once I get to Warwell...
You're going to have a long walk into you, chummy, because I'm going to borrow your car as well.
The other one takes his monocle.
I say, you can't take that. I can't see without it.
You're not going to see us, Spudust. All right, adjutant?
The agent salute.
Now for old Pure Art and his formula.
Fiend's fine to get into uniform.
Spider leads the other agent, Stanton, in uniform, into the adjutant's car. Spider salutes the tied-up real adjutant, and Stanton starts the car. He drives away. In a bedroom, wearing lingerie, Carol gets up from a vanity and picks up a dress from the bed.
I must say it feels good to get out of uniform.
Soon after, she leaves the room wearing the dress, walks down a hall, and descends some stairs into Colonel Bloodnock's office.
Ah, there you are, my dear. By George, you look even prettier in mufti.
Thank you.
I was just cursing the War Office for not sending me an adjutant. But by gad, they've made up for it. They've sent me a daughter.
There's just one thing. When the professor arrives, you'd better leave him to me. I'm a bit worried about someone getting in under cover of this new Zed draft.
Oh, yes, that's the point, yes.
Or for that matter, of someone giving away the fact that he's here.
Yes, well, don't worry about it. I shall see that they don't talk. Give him a short chat on security sometime.
The RSM arrives.
Yes, what is it, RSM?
Private Eccles, sir. Usual request for promotion, board.
Eccles? Not him again. 6 years that man's been trying to get a stripe.
He's very keen, sir.
Is he? Well, that's something. All right, I'll see him. Excuse me a moment, my dear.
The RSM goes to the open office door.
It's the old CEO now. Cap off. Right, turn. The other right. Quick, back.
Skinny Private Eccles quick marches into the office and up to Bloodnock's desk. He salutes with the back of his hand against his forehead.
Private Eccles, sir. You don't salute with your cap off, you know.
He puts it on to finish saluting and takes it off.
Now then, Eccles. Unfortunately, I've not seen my way before to promote you to Lance Corporal. There are some privates, you know, who are keen, but not very intelligent.
There are, sir?
Yes, there are. But in your case, I'm going to give you a chance to prove that you're not one of them.
Yeah, that's what I am.
What?
Not one of them.
Yes. Now then, I'm going to make you PT instructor. Acting unpaid, of course, in charge of the new draft.
Oh, the Zed men, sir.
No, the Zed girls. There's a dozen or so wrecks joining us.
Oh!
And there's no time for that sort of thing. If you're going to make an efficient NCO, you'll have to learn how to use your voice.
Oh, but I do use my voice, sir. I use it every time I speak. I wouldn't use it any other way.
I meant words of command. Go away and practice them somewhere. And don't whisper, shout.
Yes, sir! Come left, quick march!
He quick marches forward. Then turns. And his boot flies off into a window. Meanwhile, Pureheart's truck heads into Warwell. It stops at the guard shack. Pureheart gets out and approaches the guard.
Lovely year for the time of the weather, isn't it?
I see you're an MP. Tell me, what is your constituency?
Congregational, sir.
Yeah.
He unfolds a note.
Colonel Bloodnock in residence.
Well, I don't know anything about that, sir, but he's in his house.
Oh, splendid. Which way?
Straight down the road, sir. First turn on the right. You can't miss it.
Yes. With my driving, I shall quite probably hit it.
The guard laughs politely.
Yeah.
Returning to the truck, Pureheart gets back inside. In the bed of the truck, struggling out from under a blanket, Harry catches his breath. He pulls out the dead badger, and as the truck starts off, he throws it into the guard's arms. Disgusted, the guard hurls it away. Pureheart's truck careens down the road through the camp, then turns right toward the CO's house. Pulling around a corner of the house, it stops. Pureheart gets out of the truck. and is met in front of the house by Carol.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Warwell. I'm the CEO's daughter.
Oh, splendid, splendid.
You're Mr. Whitehead, of course.
No, I'm pure.
Down here, you'll be known as Mr. Whitehead.
Oh.
The fact that you're here in this camp must be kept absolutely secret.
Harry climbs out of the truck.
I use an assumed name and pretend to be somebody that I'm not.
Exactly. Let's go in, shall we?
Yes.
He starts walking off.
This way.
Oh.
Then follows Carol to the house past another guard. Harry comes out from behind the truck.
Harry, my boy, you're onto something.
The RSM spots him.
How can I get in the camp to watch him? If you're talking to yourself, don't. And if you're talking to me, shut up!
Yes, but I do.
Don't answer back! Send him attention, will you? What are you doing outside the CEO's house anyway? Get fill in with the rest of the Z-men, will you?
Not a Z-man.
Don't argue with me! Get fill in!
The RSM strides off, and Harry reluctantly follows. In the house.
At the moment, I'm working on a new form of gas.
Really?
Two kinds of gas. A tear gas and a laughing gas.
Then I suggest we tell the men you're a gas warfare expert, Mr. Whitebread.
Whitehead, sir.
Whitehead, yes, yes. Then none of them will ever suspect that you're really connected with Warwell Atomic Station.
Well, that's the real trouble. You see, there's no real reason why anyone should want to try and kill me. You see, I've lost the formula.
What?
Well, I wrote it down somewhere.
Still dressed as the adjutant, Stanton listens outside the door.
I've got to remember. I must.
He steps inside.
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Oh, no, what?
I'm Evans, the new adjutant.
Oh,
I had a tire blowout on the way down. Very serious delay, I'm afraid.
Yes, very serious. Still, you're here now. Just in time to check in the new draft.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, this is my daughter, Carol.
How do you do?
How do you do? And this is Professor, Mr. Whitebonds.
Warthog, sir.
How do you do?
They shake hands.
Yes. You'd better get off and see to that draft. Your room's ready upstairs, and yours, Mr.
Flatty.
Wet-white, yes, that's right. Now then, you'll need a batman, won't you? We shall need two, in fact. Tell the RSM to pick out a couple, will you?
Very good, sir.
Outside.
Have you all been in the service before? You should know all the answers without me having to tell you.
Harry wanders by the new men.
Don't hurry yourself, will you? You've got all day. Get Billy in there, will you?
Harry joins them.
Who do you think you are?
I think I'm back.
I know you are. What's your name?
Jones.
Sir!
Not necessary, but thanks all the same.
Bye, Jupiter Isle!
Outside the fence, a boy plays with two dogs.
The first thing to do is to get you kitted up. Anyone know where the quartermaster stores are? No? Right, I'll march you down there myself. Now, don't forget the old words of command. Squad!
When a dog barks, they come to attention.
Wait for it! As you were! Squad, sit at ease!
They obey.
Now then, squad!
They obey the dog again.
Wait for it if you've got everything you learned!
Well, shouldn't be here at all, really.
I know you shouldn't. These other 12 are bad enough with you making the unlucky 13. A squad! Left! Turn!
They turn left.
For the right! Keep! March!
The new men, in their street clothes and carrying their suitcases, walk with Harry and the RSM. In the barracks, Private Eccles checks a book.
Quick march!
Left. He marches to an open window.
Right wheel!
He turns around.
Wheel!
Then turns all the way around, pauses, and checks the book again.
Oh, yes.
He returns to his place by the window.
Turn!
He turns again.
Squad! Halt!
And stops and salutes with the back of his hand to his forehead.
All out for a smoke!
Making a quarter turn, he smokes. Outside, the RSM leads Harry and the new men in formation. Inside, Eccles marches with his book.
Squad! Left! Wheel!
Hearing him through the window, the new men turn left and Harry hurries to follow while the RSM keeps marching straight.
Squad! Halt!
He stops and salutes Stanton.
New draft, sir.
Not very many of them, are there?
He turns and finds the men gone in the barracks.
About turn!
The RSM spots the men walking back the way they came.
About turn!
Then the other way again. Furious, the RSM turns to Stanton.
Excuse me, sir.
And runs after them, bumping into two other soldiers in the barracks.
Ward! Peace! Miss!
Harry and the new men stop and relax out of formation.
Get her in there with Armageddon Thinker!
The RSM barrels in and falls.
I'm sorry, have you all intended for this?
Later, a bugler stands on a sidewalk. In the barracks, Eccles tumbles from his cot.
Here.
As Harry wakes in his own, Eccles fights through a tangle of blankets, then stands.
Get on for a heap, huh? Come on. Yeah, Harry.
He jostles Harry, who turns to sleep some more.
He can't get you up. I will.
He pulls out his own trumpet. Harry pulls his blankets over his head. At the CO's house, Carol wakes up in her bed. Harry squirms, but Eccles keeps playing. Other men run from the barracks, while still others march a little faster. Harry keeps hiding himself to no avail. The RSM steps out of his quarters and rushes off. Eccles exhausts himself and falls onto his cot. The bugler looks at his instrument confused and faces the RSM.
You! What do you think you're playing at?
It wasn't me, sir.
I'll get you 28 days for this. Report to the guardroom. You're on a charge.
Yes, sir, but sir...
Don't answer back! Never heard anything like it in all my life!
In the barracks.
Well, I bet that woke them all up. I'm good, I am.
Certainly woke me up. What time is it?
Half past five.
Half past five?
Yep. Well, don't get up till eight.
Ah, but you're in the army now.
Well, no, not. I came here by error in the first place.
We all came here in error in the first place.
But you don't understand.
Dig it up.
I'm a detective, really. I'm on a Secret Service mission. I'm Bats.
So am I, but I'm getting over it.
No, Bats of the Yard. Here, I'll show you.
He gets out his wallet.
I got my photograph here in the paper.
In the paper?
Yep. And what's your duck? Look at that.
He unfolds the front page and gives it to him.
Bats of the Yard.
Oh, yeah. Anything on the back?
He turns it over.
Hey, what are these figures here?
Figures?
Yeah.
Oh, that must be an old grocery bill I was turning up from old Mr. Crab.
Oh.
Old Mr. Crab. For 20 quid I collected from the Crown. I have to get back. He said he'd get me 5 years if I lost it.
Oh, the army won't let you go now.
But they must. I got 20 quid.
He looks through the wallet.
20 pounds. 20 quid. I've been robbed. I'm a wanted man.
Who wants you?
The police. They'll arrest me.
What? The M.O. said I was mentally arrested.
No, you. Look, I can't show my face outside the barrack gates.
I can't show my face anywhere.
The RSM stalks among the barrack shacks.
Wake it, wake your eyes and shine, the sun. Burn your eyes out.
He enters one of them and walks into Harry and Eccles' room.
Wake you, wake you, wake you, horrible man. What are you hanging around in here for? Get clean up and shaving on parade, will you? You'll stand here all day looking at your pin-ups.
He stalks out, and they let out their breath.
What do you mean by pin-ups?
He picks up some underwear.
These?
Oh, no, not them. He means these.
Photos on the wall.
We all have them over our bed, you know. Ain't you got something to pin up over your bed?
Yes, I have.
What?
He picks up the front page again.
This.
Oh.
He pins it up. In Stanton's room in the CO's house.
My dear chap, it's no good going for me. I can't help it. We'll just have to wait. The old fool's lost the formula.
How'd you know?
First thing I ever heard when I got down here. He said... I wrote it down somewhere, and I can't remember where.
Oh, there you are.
Quick, into the hut.
Spider hides in the armoire. Stanton closes it. In the barracks.
What's on today?
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare?
Yeah.
I know that. Look.
Cool.
Harry hunches his shoulders and swings his arms like an ape. Eccles does the same. They jump up and down. Then Harry pretends to pick nits from Eccles' neck. As the bugler strides past the buildings, Eccles jumps and accidentally hits Harry in the face. He motions to Eccles he's been hit. They look up.
Fall in! Fall in, right!
Harry jumps onto his cot and breaks it. Soon after, they run out to join the new men in uniform. The RSM paces up to them.
Right, you look more like soldiers this morning, you sports-coated plutocrats. Not much more, but we'll soon alter that. Now, the first thing this morning is to get 2 volunteers for Batman. One for the new adjutant, one for this here gas expert, Mr. Whiteface. Volunteers for Batman, 2 bases forward, march!
All but Harry and Eccles step back.
Limey, arsenic and old lace. Right, you two, report to the CO's house immediately.
Can I speak, sir?
Not very well, apparently, but what is it?
Well, the CO said that I could take the women's PhD class this morning. Oh,
so he did. Right. That first. And then cook us for Teague, and then report to the adjutant.
What about me, sir?
The same. You got a lot of decorations up this morning, Eccles.
Oh, you mean these medals?
What do you get these for?
You really want to know what I got them for?
Yes.
10 bob the lot.
Rest of you, in a PT kit. I'll have a go at you lot. We'll soon stiffen up those flabby muscles. You two, right turn!
They face each other.
Right turn!
Then Harry turns the right way.
Quick, march!
They do, but Eccles leaves his boots behind. At the house breakfast table.
Yes, the actual action of sodium silicitate on a benzoate solution.
Hmm. All sounds very interesting, Blackhead.
White House.
Whitehead, yes, yes. You've managed to get both tear gas and laughing gas into a condensed form, is that it?
Yes, as it were, squeezed. In fact, I have two samples upstairs in my room.
Daddy?
Hmm? Oh, huh?
Couldn't the professor give the men a lecture or something?
Yes, hydrogen ring concentration in trichlorophenimethylodosilical concentration rings. Or mothercraft.
Yes. You know, it'd give us a chance to look over the new draftees.
Hmm. Oh, I don't think we want to bore them with all that drivel about, I don't know, we might as well. Yeah.
Hmm. Why not, chap? I'll go upstairs and collect the things from my room.
Yes, right, oh, yeah. All right? Mm. All right,
fine. Sure. Gerhard gets up.
Won't he, Daddy?
Please. You know, I'm rather beginning to like this daddy business.
Gerhard leaps up the stairs.
Sugar daddy?
My dear, yes.
Milk?
Of course.
She pours.
Tea?
No, thanks. I never touch the stuff.
Oh.
Upstairs, Pureheart walks bow-legged down the hall to his room. Behind him, Stanton's door opens and Spider watches Pureheart go into his room at the end. Spider turns to Stanton.
Was that him?
Yes.
With all those whiskers?
Why not?
The barber's nightmare. Well, there's one thing, sir. I shan't mistake him when I come to do him.
Things don't look good for the professor, and Carol seems to be the only one capable of protecting him. Will Harry discover he's detecting for the wrong side once he's done goofing around with Eccles? More weirdness to come, as well as some more music in the conclusion, next time on Movies for the Blind. Speaking of music, that snazzy trumpet playing from Eccles was for real. Spike Milligan was an accomplished jazz trumpet player and also played guitar and drums, all self-taught. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. Also, check out the Movies for the Blind page on Facebook with exclusive previews and video clips. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with the easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. And the movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.